Spring has sprung, and Bible Believers Fellowship is looking forward to a season of gospel preaching outreach and Bible teaching ministry online at bbfohio.com. And as we continue airing our expository Bible studies every Saturday at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and the conclusion of our two-part message titled, The New Birth. What does it mean to be born again? What happens when a believer is born again? This message answers these questions and more, and if you missed part one, be sure to visit bbfohio.com and look under the Eternal Salvation video playlist or use the sermon audio search to find part one of the New Birth message and listen to get the full message. We now join the conclusion of our study in progress. The title is The New Birth, and this is part two of two.
Amen. And a lot of Christians walk around saying, I don't think they're saved. Why? Because they don't look like me. This is what a saved person looks like. And since they don't live like I do and follow the rules I follow and obey everything I think is right, they're not saved. That's how people are. You can go and hear preachers preaching that nonsense. Listen, there are saved people who are absolute pathetic Christians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. If you're hearing preachers tell you that if someone's not living right, they're not saved, you're listening to a liar. That preacher is a scam artist. And he is trying to... You need to wake up to this fact. He is trying to get you under his authority and control. He wants to control you. He wants to tell you what a real Christian is, and he wants to sit on a throne and judge you. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. You say, you're preaching easy believism. Amen. It's easy to get saved. Why? Because you didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. Amen. But once you're saved, you think you're getting by with it by not living for the Lord because you go to heaven? Now, you don't understand something. You need to wake up out of your coma. You can get by with it for a while in this life, but not for good. And you'll pay, not only this life, you'll lose reward. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 15. Ed Emsweller, read that out loud. Very loud.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
There are going to be Christians that you look at all snotty and everything and say, they're lost, they're not going to heaven because they're not like me. No, they're going to go to heaven. But then they're going to watch their life's work go up in a big bonfire. Yeah. Do you want to stand before Jesus Christ and your entire life just burn? And every single believer who ever existed is going to look at your life's work go up in flames. Is that what you want? There are going to be some Christians like that. It says so right there. The question is that what you want? You're going to settle for that? How pathetic. But let's not make it a matter of you're not saved, because that's making it works. That's telling people you got to get to heaven through your works. No, you're not going to get to heaven through your works. And once you're saved, yes, fact is, you can live like the devil and you'll still go to heaven. You know what God's going to do about it? Verses 16, 17. Everybody's there. Read it together. Ed, start us out.
Know ye not that the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Now, first of all, see how stupid it is to teach people that if you're not living right, you're not going to heaven? If you're not living right, that means you're not saved. Then who in the world is he talking about right here that's going to be killed by God? No, there's a lot of Christians, and they're truly saved, and they're not living right. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to kill them. Don't get mad at me for that. I didn't write that book. You don't like that? Get your penknife out. Yehudi? Is that not what it says? Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It says that if you live like the devil and defile that body that you're in by living for yourself and against God's laws, God's commandments, God will destroy you. And the verse before that said that you'll stand before Him and your whole life will be a big bonfire.
Right.
So who is teaching that those people aren't saved? A liar.
Mm-hmm.
I can preach to you and warn you about not living right without destroying the gospel in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And a man who can't do that isn't a God-called preacher. He needs to sit down and shut up. And there's a lot of them out there, and that's why I'm getting a little upset talking about it. Well, you know what it's like. You guys that have careers in some, you know, you have a career in something, and some, and like cops. You want to make a cop a good cop. You want to make them angry. Show them a bad cop. You take what's going on in a lot of firefighters today. We got Ed Pelfrey and others that have come here. Wonderful, good Christian men. You want to see them get angry? The headlines about these firefighters who are bringing shame and reproach onto the name of firefighters.
Right.
You want to make a real preacher mad? Talk to him about the Benny Hinn's. Talk to him about the false gospel that Joel Osteen's preaching. Talk to him about these corrupt hirelings. That'll make real preachers get mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
And all Christians ought to.
That's right.
Now here's how Peter describes the new birth. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. Look what it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's why I love that book like no other book on the planet. That book and the words in it give birth to you if you're a Christian. That book is what gave... James said, receive ye the engrafted word which is able to save your souls.
Amen.
And that's why whenever you put out some piece of crap garbage like the ESV and tell me that that is the Word of God, you want to see me get angry?
Amen.
Don't mess with that book.
Right.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven because of that book.
Amen.
If it wasn't for that book, I'm damned.
Yeah.
That's why I get upset about these garbage new versions. Somebody says, you burn those, you throw those away? No. I keep them. Two reasons. Number one, I'll show people in those books as corrupt Bibles. I'll show them the corruption. And we might get hard up and need toilet paper.
You can always
show
them as regular
paper. Yeah. A little. Real desperate there. Look, the moment you believe, you're born again.
Amen.
There's nothing to be done. If you think you have to do something to be born again, you've just destroyed the very teaching of being born again. The moment you believe, you're born again. People have asked me why we don't have altar calls. Well, first of all, if you're a New Testament church, you shouldn't have an altar. So the second thing is, why don't you have invitations? I'm not opposed to it. But Jesus never had one. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, here's the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. And He said, believe, and you'll be saved. He said, those who don't believe are already condemned. So believe. There's my invitation. You say, well, what do I do? Believe. I don't have to get up. Your preachers preach that. And some of them I like. I'm not saying that, but it's nonsense. They say, well, if you won't step out into an aisle, come down and come forward so we can collect your information. You must not really be saved. Baloney. The Bible says the moment you believe, you're born again right then.
Amen.
Now, if churches want to have an invitation where you can come forward and you can announce it, you don't have to do that. Come see me after the Bible study. Say, Brother Greg, I've never been born again. I just realized I've never been born again. And I believe the gospel, and I believe I'm saved now. And I say, praise God.
Amen.
Now go, there's a bunch of other people, go tell them.
Amen.
That's all you got to do?
As soon as the lake, I'm free, just won't baptize
you. Yeah. What do you mean? I got a hammer and sickle. Break that ice. Dunk brother in. So what does that mean? What just happened? That's what people say. Okay, I'm believing you that the moment I believe, I'm born again. But what does that mean? What just happened? I can only give you stay with the theme here, Mike. I'm going to give you the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot that can be said. There are more than 36 truths. What's that blocking my... I got a tissue. Okay. There are more than 36 glorious truths. I say 36, that's what I've got it nailed down to, the clear biblical truths. But there's some more that you might throw in there. But there are more than 36 glorious truths about what happened to you when you believed the gospel and were born again. Let's name them. Number one, you saw fireworks. Number two, you spoke in tongues. Number three, you... That's not it. If that happened... I do counseling too. I'll just put that in. That gives us 36 eggs to crack in our studies. 36 separate eggs to study, meditate upon, thank God for. 36 different wonderful... I love eggs, Jenny will tell you. Sunny, over easy, you know. Each one... let's just give you a few eggs. We'll crack a few here for you. You are now God's child.
Amen.
Meditate on that day and night. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name."
Amen.
You are a child of God. That should blow your socks off.
Amen.
If you have believed the gospel, not trusting in your baptism, not trusting in your church membership, not trusting in anything you could do, and only trusting in the death of Jesus Christ and His shed blood, that He died on the cross and shed His blood and paid for your sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again, conquering sin, conquering death, conquering the grave. That's what I'm trusting in for salvation. At that moment when you do that, God gives you the power to become the sons of God. Romans 1:16 says, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe." You can see you cracked these eggs and you got a lot of stuff to follow up with. That's why I'm encouraging you. Of course, we'll study these things, but you ought to go home hungry today for eggs. Amen. Look at them there. Now, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. That still hasn't sunk in for me, folks. I just revel in that, and I just sit and try to... We are blessed. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You already have that as your inheritance. It's yours. Now, of course, we're still going to live this life out, and we're not experiencing all of that, but we get a taste of that in the here and now. You'll taste of it, and one day you get the whole thing. We are predestined to adoption. God never predestined anyone to be saved. And He never predestined anyone to go to hell. He predestined that those who believe the gospel be adopted. Did you get that? Look what it says, Ephesians 1:5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." The Calvinists pervert that verse. It doesn't say having predestinated us to be saved. It says that those who believe are saved, and those who are saved are predestined unto the adoption of children. You know, what's that mean? Well, God could have just saved you from hell and then put you on Mars. True or not? He could have saved you and just put you out on some planet out there and let you live for eternity out on Mars. Trying to turn that into a garden. Well, it's the Mormons that have the planet Kolob. And thank God He did more than just save us from hell. He's blessed us with all these things, including we are now... We're not. He could have saved you and just made you part of the work crew in heaven. Wouldn't that have been better than hell? He could have done that. He could have saved you and then said, okay, Ed, from now on, you clean the toilets in heaven. He could have. He didn't. And He made us, He adopted us as children. Look, it says in the next verse, we're accepted in the Beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Again, not just putting you on the work crew, actually making you a part of His body. Ephesians 2:19 says, you're a citizen of heaven. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. America is going to hell. I'm not happy about that, but praise God, I have a heavenly citizenship. If America continues down this path and just destroys itself, my citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
If this were all there were to it, I'd probably belong to a militia and be setting off bombs. Amen. But because this isn't the end game, and I have citizenship in heaven, I don't have to kill anybody. Amen?
Amen.
And here's three in one here. We are washed, sanctified, and justified as a result of believing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Not gonna be. Not if you endure to the end. Ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That all belongs to you. You could do hours of study on every one of those. And we have only begun learning what Jesus has done for us. Only begun. And we will praise Him for eternity. And we'll be in His presence any moment now. If you're saved. If you are not saved, you will not be in His presence as Lord and Savior. You will not be a child of God. You will stand before Him at a great white throne. And your name will not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will be cast into a lake of fire. But if you are saved, any moment now, you will see Jesus.
Amen.
You will be in the presence of the entire family of God. And forever and ever and ever be in His glorious presence. And Lord, any time now.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Brother John, would you close?
Thank you.
people say amen. Visit our website at bbfohio.com to view and listen to free audio and video Bible teaching. That's bbfohio.com. On behalf of Bible Believers Fellowship, I'm Pastor Greg, and we thank you for listening. One Bible comes from the manuscripts given to us without error from God Almighty, the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament and Textus Receptus Greek New Testament. One Bible is authorized by the word of a king, published in 1611. One Bible has been declared anathema by Rome and the Pope, and its readers burned at the stake for owning it. One Bible is hated by false religions, cults, and apostates from Rome to the United Nations. And one Bible stands as God's great weapon for an end-time remnant. The authorized King James Bible of 1611. The only Bible ever used by Bible Believers Fellowship. We use it because we believe it.